Welcome to Books on Air, the show that tells the story behind the book. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I'll talk to the author about their very latest project. We'll tell you where you can find them on social media, and perhaps we'll even give you the opportunity to meet them. Joining me today is Dr. Stan Briney. We're going to talk about his latest novel, No Time for Justice. Welcome, Stan.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I was reading through your bio, and I was so impressed. You are an extremely talented person. Not only are you a physician, but you're a pen and ink artist, you're a bronze sculptor, and you're an author. And No Time for Justice is your fifth book. Wow.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your comment.
Well, my pleasure. Tell me how you started writing.
Well, when I grew up in a small Iowa town, and I was fortunate in having some very fine ink teachers. And I also worked at that time with in a printing company, and started doing some proofreading and so forth, which also helped. And then my freshman year in college, my English teacher, a professor, asked that we write a story, a short story. And I wrote a story which he liked so well that it ended up being broadcast on the radio. And so that was my first real connection with writing. And then my master's degree at the College of Medicine thesis was also published in a national scientific journal. And other than that, until recent years, I have not had any real formal training like that. I've just found that I enjoy writing. And for many years, I'd heard people mention that they wished Grandpa had written down some of the things that he had done. And I looked back upon my life, and I thought, well, I've had a fairly interesting life that maybe my own grandkids or great-grandkids would enjoy knowing more about. So I wrote my memoirs, it was titled Self-Portrait. And I had that self-published in 2010. And so that was really the start of it. And then the next one that I wrote was called Dead End Roads, and it was an anthology of fiction of eight short stories. And people that read the thing said, you know, you need to take one of those stories and write a novel about it. And I thought, well, I'm no writer. I just do it for fun. Well, I got to thinking about it, so that brought me to writing the fiction novel called Fantasy Locked in a Criminal Mind. And that was published and well accepted. And from there, I got the bug, and so I kept writing.
Well, let's talk about No Time for Justice. It's based in historic fact. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Tell me the story behind the book. Tell me how you found out about this incident and how you decided to write it into a novel.
Well, first of all, I'm kind of a history buff, and I have been always interested in the historical events that have taken place right where I live. And that is in here in north central Texas near the Red River. And through this area, there's been some extremely interesting things that happened back in the 1850s and 1860s, and in Oklahoma and the Indian Territory and so forth. So I had it in that area and pursued the fact and documents that during the Civil War, there was a small civil war occurring among the Indians in Indian Territory, which is now Oklahoma. And I got interested in it, and that became the basis of the story, No Time for Justice.
Let's give our listeners an overview of the plot of No Time for Justice.
Well, the plot is that a young boy, my main character, is a mixed-blood Cherokee and Choctaw Indian. And this all takes place back in the 1850s. He is in Indian Territory, and he has a white stepfather who was murdered by a Confederate. And his Choctaw mother, I'm sorry, his Cherokee mother, becomes during the war a Confederate. And so this boy, as he's growing up, has to decide when he goes off to fight in the Civil War, will he defend the honor of his white stepfather, who was a Unionist, or will he protect and fight for his mother's Cherokee culture and as a Confederate? And so this is the basic fundamental part of the story, and he has to make that decision. And it becomes quite involved, and quite, it's a vivid novel. And for anyone interested in the Native Americans of the time, the history, and the Western frontier that's taking place here in North Texas at that time, the lawlessness that's going on, I also cover the hangings that took place in Gainesville, Texas, in 1862, and this all becomes part of that story.
Well, I believe that the book is actually going international, that it's going to be featured at both the Frankfurt Book Festival in Germany and in Beijing, China, in the fall of this year. Is that right?
This year in 2016, yes, it was in both festivals.
How exciting was that?
Well, it really was. It was certainly something to me, new to me, and to be very honest with you, I didn't even realize either of these cities had these huge book festivals, and so that in itself was a surprise to me. And but I felt very honored that it was the publisher chose to have the book go to both places.
That's just thrilling. I mean, to hear something go international. Congratulations, Stan.
Well, thank you very much.
I think that's, wow. Did you get to go to either one of the book festivals?
No. Fortunately, before this happened, I had been in Beijing visiting, and so that was kind of exciting. I knew what the city was like in Beijing, and so to know that my book was actually there, and the people that I had met on the street and seen might be people that were looking at my book, really was really very interesting and exciting, I'll have to admit.
Let's talk about the other things that you do. You're a pencil and a pen and ink artist. Now, I confess, I went to your website to look at your work just to see, and you're also a bronze sculptor. How did you get into both of those two things? I read in your bio that you said that you have no formal artistic training, and I'm just stunned at your talent.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. No, I have no formal training in art. I have always enjoyed art since I was a very small child, and I've drawn pictures all my life, and probably about 20 years ago, I didn't know anything about sculpture, really, and a friend of mine did do some sculpture, and he said one day, he said, I want to show you this sculpture that I did that I just got back from the foundry. I said, okay, fine, and so I looked at it, and then I kind of looked at it a little more critical, and I thought, you know, I'll bet I could do just as good as that. And so I went home, and I got some clay, and I started working on an object, and it enticed me to, well, if I can do this, I can do something else. And so over a period of time, my sculptures have been in many, many places, and now across the country. I've exhibited in galleries around, including Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and different places. So the sculpture now is in entryways of high schools. It's in offices, art collections, so forth across the United States.
What does your friend think?
I never told him.
Well, I just wanted us to mention the fact that you're doing other artistic things as well. It seems to me that when someone has, for lack of a better word, an artistic spark, that they will tend to do different artistic endeavors. And I think writing is one, because it's such an interesting creative process. And the drawing is another, and then the sculpture is a third. What's your writing process like, Stan? How do you do it? How do you approach writing a new novel? Do you sit down and outline? Do you sit down and write chapter by chapter, and it rolls like a movie through your head? What's your process like?
Well, my process is, first, like I say, if I have a specific interest personally in a specific event, place, person, whatever, historically, I begin doing some research, reading about that individual or event and so forth, and try to get more background knowledge of what it might be like. And then if I feel that this might be, I have interest to someone else, why, I kind of start making a little outline, and then I just start writing the first sentence and the first paragraph. And it just leads on from there. And I'll have to admit, there are days I sit down and I just get nowhere, and it was the same way with my artwork. There'd be a day I'd sit down, and in 15 minutes, I'd find out that I just couldn't do anything right. The next day, I'd sit down, and I'd spend 8 or 10 hours working on it, and everything rolled well. And it's the same thing with writing. And people have asked me, well, how do you start writing? And I just say, you got to write the first sentence. And I try to encourage people to, they think they have no talents, but people have talents, and they need to try to cultivate them and be brave and just try something. And so many people have told me, I couldn't draw a straight line. Well, that isn't true. That if they try, they could be very, very creative. And I've tried to do that in my life, and I'd like to see more people do it.
Thank you for encouraging people. I think that that's important. I know that our listeners are interested in the book, and I'm sure that they're curious about where they can find it. I always talk about Amazon first, just because it's such a big place, and it's where so many people go for their books. If they go to the Amazon website, there's a book search feature, and all they have to do is put the name of the book, and let me give that to them. Excuse me. No Time for Justice by Stanley, Stanley Briney, Briney. And if they just put that in the feature, the book search feature, and click on it, there's the book. And it's always very easy to buy it from Amazon. And there also is a little excerpt there about the book that's right beside it. So they can read that and they can see what the book is about. It'll remind them. And I know it's also available several other places. Where else could they find it, Stan?
It can be reached through Barnes & Noble stores. And I believe there's some other commercial stores that it is available on. It can also be found through Litfire Publishing Company in Georgia.
And they have a website, and if they just go
they
to
have
the
a website, Litfire, L-I-T-F-I-R-E, Publishers.
Now you have a website. Tell me what's on your website. Give me the address. Let's give our listeners the address, and then let's tell them what they'll find there.
Okay, stanbrineyart.com. And that'll get you to my website, and it's pretty self-explanatory that you can find the drawings, the books, the sculptures, and so forth.
It is. I went to the website and looked and found the other books, and I looked at the sculpture, and I looked at your drawings, and you're right. It's very easy to navigate, and so our listeners wouldn't have any trouble at all. If they can't, for some reason, find the book on Amazon, then it's right there on your website. Stan, if you could leave the listeners with some last thoughts. The last time they closed the cover of the book, when they finished it, would you like to leave them with just the idea that they've read a really good story and they've been entertained? Or is there something deeper that you'd like them to take away from the novel?
Well, several things that I try to desperately try to get through my novels for the reader is that I try to take them and have them right there where everything is happening, that they're right next to my main characters and all that. They know what the weather's like. They know what's happening. And I try to be very vivid and very descriptive so that they can feel part of it. And that's my chief goal. And I want to also try to educate the reader as far as interesting little historic things that perhaps they don't know or perhaps have forgotten from school and so forth. So it's a kind of an educational thing. And I like to stimulate the reader to learn more about history. And in our country, I feel we never learn from our historic past, and which accounts for many of our mistakes that are made today. And so this is what I try to do. And in the bottom line, I just want to create enjoyment for the reader. I want them, when they have some feeling for what they've been through with the pages, and perhaps it'll ask questions or make questions in their mind. Perhaps it'll stimulate their their interest through kind of an intrigue, a mystery, and leave them sometimes just hanging, wonder what happened. And so if I can do that, that I'll feel is very successful.
Well, you have been delightful. It's such a pleasure to talk to you and hear your views and to meet someone who is so extraordinarily talented and doing such a wonderful job with writing and other artistic endeavors. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Samuel Johnson said, "A writer begins a book. A reader finishes it." I hope you'll join me for the next Books on Air. And until then, buy a book, read a book, and share a book. Thanks so much for listening.